All right, let's say hello to our man, Bud Elliott, TomahawkNation.com. Spring football and the Garnet and Gold game is right around the corner. Bud, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well.
The biggest talk is the logo. We'll save that for a few minutes. We'll dive into what's happening on the football field. Sum up spring football so far from your perch, because this is a team that's got a lot of good pieces already there, trying to find new stars at the wide receiver spot and the running back spot. How has it gone so far in your estimation?
I would say, to sum it up, a lot of good depth, not as many clear-cut answers, which is probably good and bad, because you have a lot of guys that are still battling, maybe not guys standing out quite as much as we would have expected by this point. A lot of minor to moderate injuries that will keep some guys out of the spring game, and as far as I can tell, no injuries that will keep guys out of the latter part of summer conditioning and or the fall.
Yeah, that's the big key. That's the big key. Okay, if it's not crucial to have him out here, why would I put him in position to get hurt? But you're right, no crucial injuries. Now, when I read TomahawkNation.com and I take a look at some of the things that you're talking about, Cam Irving, let's start there, moving positions. And tell me if you think they're just in an experimental stage, because you're talking about a very good guy on the edge, maybe looking at other positions along the offensive line.
You know, I think that they are trying him at center some, because they're concerned about the depth at center. I don't think you're going to see Cam Irving starting at center, absent an injury to Austin Barron. But Barron has struggled with injuries kind of throughout his career for State at times, even though he's never really been the starter much. So if he were to go down, I think that they want to make sure that they have a capable guy there at center. We know that Josue Matias has played left tackle some. They really have some nice depth at offensive line, pretty much everywhere but center this year, because what's his name? Sterling Lovelady, their right. Former backup center, decided to forego his senior year and focus on getting into law school, which, you know, probably a good choice because he wasn't going to be NFL bound or anything. I think they're trying to develop that depth there. If folks will remember back in 2010, Cam Irving was a defensive tackle, and Fisher has always really praised his ability to bend, even at 6'6". We know he has good length. So if he's able to snap the ball and use that you know, bend and flexibility there from the center position, which is so crucial there, because you have to be able to get low and root out some of those, you know, one techs on the interior, that probably gives us a greater peace of mind at the center position. But I don't expect at this point, unless something very strange happens, to see Irving as the new starting center.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me more than anything else, is you want an upright guy that can handle a big pass rusher, a quick guy, and normally you see size on them as opposed to more a compact guy playing center. So that was a head-scratcher for me. We're talking with Bud Elliott, TomahawkNation.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tomahawk Nation. And when you look at that offensive line, we know that they had a veteran group. Is this going to be a plus for this team going forward this year, based on what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, outside of Jameis and probably the secondary, this might be the best position group on the whole team. I mean, it's very, very talented. Return four starters, return a lot of your key depth pieces there. Added in Kareem R., who is a guard/tackle type. I know he came in fairly overweight and has really done a nice job shedding bad weight very quickly since he enrolled early in January for the spring semester. And they've been nothing but pleased with him. And so that's just another great thing to have, another guy at, you know, 3.25, 3.30 who can play guard and road grade for you if you need. I don't know that he's necessarily going to start, but he's definitely making some noise in practice. And they're very pleased just to have him, because that offensive line depth is so important. And just realistically, there's almost no way they're going to go through the season with the incredible and lucky offensive line injury luck that they had last year.
I didn't speak with you last week regarding Nick O'Leary, but what in the blazes is going on with Nick O'Leary?
Yeah.
He keeps getting in accidents.
He seems to be a bit of an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
And I know he swore off riding motorcycles. This time it was a dirt bike. Witnesses have told me that he was shirtless and helmetless and in flip-flops and gym shorts riding the dirt bike, and ended up, you know, skidding a pretty good ways. And the one witness told me that he got up and he looked really bloody, but didn't appear to have anything obviously broken. So I guess that's somewhat encouraging. But Yeah, he definitely can't be wearing a jersey and pads right now, so he's out. And Fisher was pretty annoyed with him in the interview that he did after practice. He said that you know, he's frustrated, but he needs for O'Leary to be frustrated, which I guess means you know, he needs O'Leary to kind of take this football thing a little bit more seriously.
Well, it brings up an interesting question. I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to this unless you are Nick O'Leary and you just described him as a guy who's an adrenaline junkie. And I would love to be that guy at that age being able to do anything I wanted, right? And then you look on the other side and you know, okay, I got a professional football career that I may be able to look forward to. That's not an easy one as a young personable player coming up.
No, it's not. And I think that, you know, without knowing their exact financial situation, you also have to realize that, and I'm sure everybody knows this by now, he is the grandson of Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
So they're not hurting for money perhaps as much as some people on the team would be. So how much does that factor into your decision-making and your risk tolerance and your off-field activities?
Yeah, it really is, because you would describe him as a trust fund baby. I mean, the guy's never going to lack for money or anything like that, but he also has a certain skill set that every Seminole fan wants to see on their football field, and then maybe NFL scouts are already salivating over what they could see. But, yeah, it's hard to tell a scholarship kid that he can't go out there and have fun during the offseason, I guess is my point.
Now, what if the players unionize?
Oh, yeah.
Are they then employees? Can you then tell them that you can't do this? I mean, are they unable to show up for work thanks to an off-field injury that they suffered? There's all kinds of interesting issues there that if this thing ever does happen, you know, many years down the road, I'm sure we'll think back on.
Yeah, don't you have a legal background?
Yeah, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, so where do you come in on this as far as, and what we're talking about is that Northwestern players, they originally got representation, I guess filed suit is the correct way to phrase it. They won a ruling that said, yes, they can unionize. But like you said, and at least how I've looked at it, is that now you can place demands on players. Now you can tax them for that income, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's a big Pandora's box if they open it up.
Yeah, I think it's a Pandora's box. Now, I don't know that it's all bad. I think there are some other ways you may handle it that could be better. For instance, I think that one way to sort of offer a market solution is to allow for players to receive endorsement deals if they are of the celebrity status,
right?
That could get them that. For instance, Jameis Winston has an earnings potential unrealized over these last year and this year. That's just phenomenal. That's money he's never going to get back. If you allowed players like him, like a star running back, like a star quarterback types, to go out and get some more money, that they could get through merchandising and through endorsement revenue, that's probably a more fair thing, because not all of these guys make money for the university. I mean, they're all on scholarship. In the aggregate, of course, football makes a heck of a lot of money, but not all of them have this great celebrity appeal that they could actually capitalize on it. But this allows some of the guys who are really essentially just pro players who are in waiting to go out and make some extra cash.
Yeah, I immediately think of, okay, there's the big star that's going to get more money, and like he wasn't going to have any problem making some extra cash at the next level. What about the other guy? And, of course, Title IX.
Yeah, that's the real interesting part of that. If these are employees, are all student-athletes employees, or is it just certain sports where the expectation of hours invested is greater as a custom? A lot of really interesting questions here. Clearly, I don't think you can afford to pay football players what they're actually worth to the school and then also pay something to, you know, all the sports, because women's sports and most men's sports outside the Big Three lose money for schools. I think Connecticut right. maybe make money on women's basketball, maybe Tennessee, but for the vast majority of it, they don't. They're a money drain on the school. So would those players want to be compensated for their efforts above and beyond their scholarship and the other things they receive? It's a really interesting question. There's a lot of great angles to this.
Yeah, all right. Real quick, back to the football field before we turn you loose. Any big star skill position player that you think has jumped out that maybe a Seminole fan's not completely aware of right now as you've gone through spring?
Not completely aware. I know Mario Pender had a really nice spring. Mm-hmm. If he's going to be available for the spring game, which is, I guess, a question right now, they might be without all four scholarship tailbacks. Obviously, look for him. And then I think with Isaiah Jones on the other side of Rashad Green, they need to develop that X to have that bigger body on that side.
Right.
And he's pretty clearly the front runner in my mind to do that.
Anything on the federal investigation that's going on with FSU and the code of sexual misconduct and some of the stuff that came out with that Deadspin story last week?
Nothing really new in the last several days. We do know that they're actually not on campus right now. FSU just apparently received notice that they will be looking into it. I think it's important to note some perspective here. It's obviously a serious issue and an important one, but it's newsworthy primarily because the newspapers can tag the word Jameis Winston
right
onto the headline when in fact there are also 46 other investigations of this nature going on at this time with D1 College.
Yeah, I guess I feel like if they're going to get anybody, if this person, the accuser, is going to get anybody, it's going to be the police department and some culpability for FSU on some level.
Yeah, and they've sort of changed their legal course a bit. I don't want to comment on the case too much, but they've now hired a sort of Title IX specialist attorney out of Denver. And so I think that sort of tips their hand as to where they're trying to take the civil side of this case.
I got you. All right, leave Seminole fans with this. Does the logo look cool or not, the new one?
You know, I don't love it, and I don't think it's a major upgrade, but I also don't think it's terrible. And I'm a little bit surprised at the outrage by some. Now, it's probably a very, very vocal minority that is actually, signing petitions and flooding the phone lines at Florida State, which is kind of funny. I know yesterday they put out a thing that said, email us with your comments, and I have a feeling that's probably to take away some of the phone call volume. But, the fans have a right to complain about it, certainly. I don't think it's a major downgrade, and I think that had it not been leaked by the vendor and/or Walmart, fans would have probably been happier with it because it would have been released at the same time as the new uniforms, which apparently look awesome, and the new helmets. And I think if you had seen all that total package at once, it would have probably gone over more smoothly, but it did not happen. That the logo leaked first, and people were just kind of up in arms about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And also the mention of the Seminole tribe not liking it, that also kind of muddied it up a little bit.
No, they said that they weren't.
No, that was the report, though, which was erroneous.
The way it was worded was kind of funny. It was Seminole tribe not behind the change, and what that meant was they were not the driving force behind the change, not that they didn't support it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like you said, headline grabber.
Exactly, yeah.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it very much.
Take care.
All right, Bud Elliott at TomahawkNation.com or on Twitter at TomahawkNation, and then definitely check out the website.